account of non-face-to-face customers. Non-face-to-face customers means neither the account holder comes to the bank or banks have not seen their customers. This is happening because of the introduction of telephonic or electronic banking. What happens in these days that the accounts are being opened without need of customers to visit the bank of the branch. What safeguards is required to be taken by the bank over here? In case of non-face-to-face customers, apart from applying to the usual customer identification process, the extra diligence measures need to be put in place. That is, and there must be a specific and adequate procedure to mitigate the higher risk which is involved in such kind of accounts that should be specified in the policy of the bank. Another type of accounts are the proprietary concern. Apart from following the extant guidelines of the customer identification process, which is applicable to all the proprietor bank, all the proprietorship accounts, bank should call for any document to verify some additional documents before opening the account. Before opening the account, certain documents mandatorily required to be verified by the bank, which consist of the proof of the name, address, and the activity of concern, like registration certificate in case of registered concern, or certificate or license issued by the municipal authorities under the Shops and Establishment Act, sales and income tax return filed, CST VAT certificate or CST and VAT certificates, certificate of registration of the document under the Sales Tax Act, Service Tax or Professional Tax Authorities, license issued by the registering authorities. Any one of the document may be called by the bank for establishing the identity of such proprietorship concern. Bank may also accept the IEC, that is Importer Exporters Code, certificate issued by the DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade, and to complete the income tax return in the name of the sole proprietorship concern and utility bill in the name of the proprietary concern may be asked to submit by the bank. Now, procedure to be followed in respect of the foreign students. Foreign students are coming to the country for the purpose of taking the education. What is the extra diligence is required in case of the foreign students who are coming to the country? The bank may open the non-resident account in rupee, that is NRO, bank account of the foreign student on the basis of their passport. Within a period of 30 days of opening the account, the foreign student should submit to the branch of the bank where the account is opened a valid address proof giving the local address in the form of the rent agreement or maybe letter from the educational institution as a proof of living in facility provided by the educational institution. This is one document. Another one is during the 30 days period, next 30 days period after opening the account, the account should be operated with the condition that allowing the foreign remittances not exceeding US$1,000 into account and a cap of monthly withdrawal of ₹50,000. These restrictions need to be put as long as there is a pending verification of the address. When this document, proof of residence, is not submitted, then in that case, till then, only rupee equivalent 50,000 or US$1,000 may be permitted to withdraw from that account which is opened as an NRO account for foreign students who are coming to the India. On submission of the proof of the current address, the account would be treated as a normal NRO account and will be operated in terms of the instructions contained in the Reserve Bank of India, instructions for the non-resident of ordinary rupee account. And the students with a Pakistani nationality will need a prior approval of the Reserve Bank of India to open the account. There are certain accounts which are selling third party product. When the bank sells the third party product, that means income or the revenue generated or actually money generated should be invariably required to be parked in those kind of accounts. So, when the bank sells the third party products as an agent, the responsibility of ensuring the compliance with respect of the KYC, AML and CFT regulations lies with the third party. Even while selling the third party products as an agent, bank should verify the identity and address of the walk-in customers also. Bank should also maintain a transaction details with regard to the sale of the third party product in related to these records. Bank's anti-money laundering software should be able to capture and generate the report and analyze the alert for the purpose of CTR and STR for the purpose of reporting. And the transaction relating to the third party product with customers including walk-in customers also. Sale of third party product by the banks as an agent to the customers including walk-in customers for ₹50,000 and above must be debited to the customer's account, and the against that check, verification of PAN, etc. These are the precautionary measures need to be taken while opening the account for the purpose of an account is opened for the sale of third party product like mutual fund, LIC and all other things. Due diligence in correspondent banking relationship. Bank should retain the right to verify the records and maintained by the client of the cooperative bank societies for compliance with the extant instruction on KYC and AML under such arrangements, correspondent banking accounts. Now we are coming to the small accounts where customers are not in position to give any proof of their residence or any proof of their income. In that case, certain norms are relaxed. This is the initiative of the government and which is implemented through the Reserve Bank of India through all the banks. Now first let us understand what is the small account means. A small account may be opened on the basis of the self-attested photograph and affixation of signature or thumbprint. Account shall be opened only at the core banking solution linked branches, CBS. Foreign remittances shall not be allowed to be credited to these small accounts unless the identity of the customer is fully established. What are the officially valid document under the Government of India notification for opening the account as an identity proof? One, job card issued by NREGA, that is National Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme. Under that account, this authority has issued the certificate which can be turned as a valid document. Then Aadhaar number can now also be accepted as an official valid identity proof. EKYC service of Unique Identification Authority, that is UIDAI, may be accepted as a valid process for KYC verification under PML rules. Operation of the bank account with the money moles. In money mole transaction, what happens? An individual with a bank account is recruited to receive the check deposited or wire transfer and then transfer these funds to the account held on behalf of another person or to other individuals minus a certain commission payment. Money moles may be recruited by a variety of methods, maybe including spam emails, or it may be advertisement on the genuine recruitment websites, social networking sites, instant messaging and advertisement in the newspaper. On that basis, accounts may be opened, but these accounts are considered as a money mole account with strict vigilance is required to be observed by the bank for the transaction undertaken in these accounts. Banks therefore are advised to strictly adhere to the guidelines which are in the KYC, AML and CFT issued from time to time, and to those relating to the periodical updating of the customer identification data after the account is opened, and that too when it is monitored. Now, monitoring the time, accounts are opened, we identified the account, we know what type of accounts are these, what are the category, we have again classified these accounts as low risk, medium risk, high risk, depending upon the type of clients which we have approached. Everything is in place. Now, the question comes, once account is opened, how to monitor the transactions in the account? Now, monitoring the transaction in the account, also guidelines are required to be stipulated in the KYC policy. Bank should exercise the ongoing due diligence with respect to the business relationship with every client and closely examine the transactions in order to ensure that they are consistent with their knowledge of the client, their business risk profile, and wherever necessary, the source of funds also need to be tracked. The risk categorization of the customer as also to the compilation and the periodic updating of the customer profile and monitoring and the closure of the alerts in the accounts by the banks are extremely important for effective implementation of the KYC and CFT policy. Where the bank is unable to apply the appropriate KYC measures due to non-furnishing of the information or non-cooperation by the customers, then the bank should consider closing of such kind of accounts. Coming to the risk management in this particular KYC policy and operations. Risk management is always in respect of the operation control is looked into different angle. As far as this risk management is concerned, the KYC policy should stipulate what is the risk in the kind of transaction which banks are generally undertaking. Board of directors of the bank should ensure that an effective KYC program is put in place by establishing the appropriate procedure and ensuring that effective implementation. Bank's internal audit and compliance functions have an important role in evaluating and ensuring the adherence of the KYC policy and procedure. As a general rule, the compliance function should provide an independent evaluation of the bank's own policies and procedures, including the legal and regulatory requirement. So, audit and compliance plays very important role in respect of the risk management policy framed by the bank, which is approved by the board of directors of the bank. Introduction of the new technologies, credit cards, debit cards, smart card, gift cards. This is all related to the new technology related. Certain KYC measures are very much anticipated, and the policy which is framed by the bank should take care of all these aspects while issuing, after issuance, or if anything goes bad, that should be properly monitored under this policy, KYC policy. The banks are required to ensure the full compliance in respect of the KYC, AML and CFT guidelines issued from time to time in respect of add-on or supplementary cards which are issued to the original cardholders, relatives or so on. Banks should ensure that the appropriate KYC procedures are duly applied before issuing the cards to the customers. It is also desirable that agents are also subjected to the KYC policy. Now, combating the financing of the terrorism, how to eradicate, how to stop this, how to control this, for that purpose, the monitoring mechanism is very important. The suspicious transaction should be first identified. What includes the suspicious transaction? Suspicious transaction, that bank should develop a suitable mechanism through the appropriate policy framework for enhanced monitoring of account suspected of having terrorist link and swift identification of the transactions and making suitable reports to FIU IND on priority basis. This is the authority to whom banks are normally reporting the suspected transactions. There are various ways to identify the suspicious transactions. Various mechanisms, various systems have been developed. But again, fraudulently preparation of the certain documents, giving the fake names of the overseas beneficiaries or maybe overseas remitter in case of international transaction, creation of the document as if it is originated from abroad and creating within the country with a fraudulent intention. These are all coming under the financing of the terrorism, quite likely, though it is not defined or proved. Therefore, before opening any new account, it should be ensured that the names of the proposed customer does not appear in the list. Further, the bank should scan the existing accounts to ensure that no account is held or by link to any of the entities which individual included in the list which is published by the government or maybe Reserve Bank of India for the purpose of combating the financing of the terrorism. Correspondent banking and the shell bank. Correspondent banking is the provision of the banking services from one bank to another bank. The relationship is established and accounts are getting opened. These relationships are called correspondent banking. Under the correspondent banking, bank should refuse to enter into correspondent banking relationship with the shell bank. Shell bank, what is shell bank? Shell bank means the bank which is incorporated in the country where it has no physical presence. It is incorporated in our country, but there they don't have the physical presence and is unaffiliated to any regulatory financial group. Such a bank or entity is called as shell bank. And normally, no bank is dealing with shell bank. So, shell bank try to avoid the relationship with the shell bank. Shell banks are not permitted to operate in the India. Banks should be extremely cautious while continuing relationship with the correspondent banks located in the country with the poor KYC standard observing countries identified as non-cooperative countries in the fight against the money laundering and terrorism financing. Now, most of the frauds are happening through the wire transfers. It may be wire transfer, may be internal through the NEFT RTGS, or it may be swift remittances or any other mechanism that is acceptable to the bank. Bank uses the wire transfer as an expeditious method for transferring the funds between the bank accounts. Wire transfer include the transactions which are occurring within the national boundaries of the country or from one country to another country. Cross-border transfer means the wire transfer where the originator and the beneficiary bank or the financial institutions are located in the different countries. Domestic wire transfers means any wire transfer where the originator and receiver are located in the same country. Interbank transfers and settlements where both the originator and beneficiary banks or financial institution would be exempted from the KYC standard because these are the established relationship. These accounts are opened for the settlement purpose, not for the customer-based transaction. That is why these kind of accounts are exempted from the KYC standard. Role of ordering or intermediary beneficiary bank. When any transaction is originated in wire transfer, the roles are defined for originator or originating bank who initiate the transaction. Beneficiary bank means who receives the transaction. So, role of ordering, intermediary and beneficiary bank, we will just now discuss. Ordering bank. Ordering bank means who? The bank that originates the wire transfer as per the order placed by its customer. The ordering bank must ensure and qualifying a wire transfer contain a complete originator information. The bank must also verify and preserve the information at least for a period of 10 years. Then intermediary bank. Who is the intermediary bank in wire transfer? For both the cross-border and domestic wire transfer, a bank processing an intermediary element of chain of wire transfer must ensure that all the originator information accompanying a wire transfer is retained with the transfer. Intermediary bank. That means maybe nostro account maintaining bank. They are expected to retain the information about the originator. And this record must be kept at least for 10 years as required under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act by receiving intermediary bank of all the information received from the ordering bank. Now this is the beneficiary bank. A beneficiary bank should have an effective risk. Beneficiary means recipient's bank. And the person who is receiving the funds, having account with the bank, is the beneficiary bank. Beneficiary bank should have an effective risk-based procedure in place to identify the wire transfer lacking the complete originating information. The lack of complete originator information may be considered as a factor for assessing whether the wire transfer or related transactions are suspicious and whether they should be reported to the Financial Intelligence Unit or not. The beneficiary bank should also take up the matter with the ordering bank if the transaction is not accompanied by the detailed information about the funds remitted. If the ordering bank fails to furnish the information on the remitter, the beneficiary bank should consider restricting or even terminating its business relationship with the ordering bank. Designated director and the principal officers. For all the practical purposes, as per the PML Act, there is requirement of the designated director and the principal officer. Designated director under the PML Act is defined as or required that a nominate a director on their board as designated director as per the provision of Prevention of Money Laundering Rules 2005 to ensure the overall compliance with the obligation under the Act and rules. Principal officer is bank should appoint a senior management officer to be designated as a principal officer. Bank should ensure that the principal officer is able to act as an independently and report directly to the senior management or to the board of directors. Principal officer shall be located at the place that is headquarters or head office of the bank, and it shall be responsible for monitoring and reporting all the transactions and sharing of the information as required by the law. Maintenance of the record of the transaction. This is a very important and a crucial exercise that banks has to undertake. banks should introduce a system of maintenance of the proper record of the transaction prescribed under Money Laundering Act 2005, as mentioned below. Number one, all cash transactions of the value which is more than rupees 10 lakh or its equivalent in foreign currency. All the series of the cash transactions integrally connected to each other which have been valued below rupees 10 lakhs or its equivalent in foreign currency, where such series of transactions have taken place within a month and aggregate value of such transaction exceeds rupees 10 lakh. So these transactions record is required to be maintained for 10 years. With this, the operation control at the branches, we have finished this particular chapter. Thank you very much.